You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts. As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, delicious friends, and welcome to Who Dat What Now, the history podcast that's not your history class, with me, your host, Katie Charlwood, history harlot and reader of books. Well, this has been an exciting weekend. So I released a special episode, as you well know, if you're not new here, I released an episode on the Magdalene Laundries. And I did it for International Women's Day. It's something that I was planning to do for a long, long time. And eventually I actually did the research, cried a little, and then finally released it. Now, it did well, to say to the least, because I was charting. And by charting, I mean literally on the history charts, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. I was number one in the history charts in Iceland. I was number two in the US, five in Canada, four somewhere else. I was in the top 10 in Ireland, top 20 UK, Sweden, Norway, Finland. You know, could you maybe not interrupt me, baby girl?
Sorry.
Sorry indeed. Yeah. So you say. But yeah, the Magdalene Laundries episode did so well, and it's, I think, probably the most important episode I have ever done in my life. And yeah, it was weird. Like, I was even in like the actual charts. Like in the all podcasts, I was like 20 in Iceland or 25 in Iceland and like 75 in the US, which, you know, making the top 100 in the overall charts is wild to me. Like, it's absolutely wild. I can't believe that everything worked so well. As you may have noticed, I do have an extra little co-host with me today. Say hi. Okay, so I was supposed to record this beforehand, but I've been so busy that now we have a guest host. So there's going to be considerably less colourful language in this episode, particularly because of my fresh human. Hey. Yeah, we can't be having that, can we?
No, that's a bad manner sometimes when we're doing bad words.
Bad manner sometimes to be doing bad words, but we don't want to shout on the microphone because that's not nice for people's ears. Yeah.
That's just being mean to people.
That is mean. We don't want to hurt their poor ear holes, do we?
Yeah.
But we know what you're thinking. You're thinking, quit your jibber jabber and
fact me.
Totally unrehearsed. We didn't plan that at all. But first we've got to get our source on. The Adventures of Maeve, the Warrior Queen, by Anne Carroll. Whose book is that?
Mine.
Yeah, it's your book. And we also have Tanbo Kolinga. I have totally mispronounced that. I've totally messed that up. Yeah. Maeve, the Intoxicating One, by Britta Islinger. Goddesses in World Culture by Patricia Monaghan. Celtic Culture, a Historical Encyclopedia by John Cock. The Real Queen Maeve by Laura O'Brien. And of course we have our old favourites, History.com and biography.com. Are you sitting comfortably?
Good. Now let's begin.
So, this week's story is about Queen Maeve, who was a bit of a badass, to be honest. And it's very interesting because, did she exist? Maybe is the history of it. Yeah. Like, you were wanting to know if she existed.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we're not sure. So basically, back in the day, what happened was, stories would often change, especially about the past, and, you know, mythology and history sort of combine. And what you'll notice with a lot of Irish mythology especially is it's very much a yes and. It's kind of like what happened when Christianity came in and overtook everything. And so all of the mythology would suddenly have this like really Christian bit at the end. So like really bad improv bit for history. And it would go, yes and. And that happened a lot. And the way that Maeve is often described through her stories is not in a very positive light. They weren't very nice about her, baby girl. They were mean.
Oh.
Okay. So some people say that she was a big old meanie. And I think she was just a woman standing up for her rights. Because every time she shows up, in one of the sort of stories, whenever she appeals, it's because some dude has done something that's forced her to come into the story. It's forced her to stand up and go, no. But I suppose we should start at the beginning. Oh, and also, I thought with how heavy the last episode was, probably better to go a bit lighter. And I think, you know, The 100 CE seems like a good time. I think we're far enough in the past to kind of be a bit more chill. But yeah, Maeve was born somewhere 1st century, like 50, 51 CE, I think is like her birth-ish. We think. Maybe. Very long time ago. And she was born into royalty.
His dad was
Ichafela, that's absolutely right. Ichafela was the High King of Ireland, making Maeve a princess.
A princess.
And he was the High King of Ireland, so there would be 4 kings in Ireland for each of the provinces. So the King of Ulster, the King of Connacht, the King of Munster, forgot Munster there for a second, and Connacht, Ulster, Munster. Oh goodness, what's the other one? Leinster. Leinster. There's 4 provinces, and in those provinces there were counties, okay. So, in the provinces, there would be a king of each, and then ruling all of those kings would be the High King. Because he's like the kingiest king. The super king. The burger king, if you will.
Or maybe the best king?
The best king. Maybe he was the best king.
Or the kind.
Oh, the kindest king, not a kind of king. So, you know, things are okay. Maeve's a wee bit tempestuous growing up. You know, being the daughter of a king, one would expect that. Being an Irish woman, also yes. But she grows up and gets to, like, the teenage stage. And at this point, she is, unsurprisingly, causing some problems for her dad. And he's a wee bit stressed out. And he's like,
what will I do with her? She's young and beautiful and I love her dearly. But she's a terrible torment.
Torment?
Torment.
Yeah. So yeah, she's causing a bit of problem. Maybe some teenage angst. Whom's to say? But things aren't going well for him, right? But she's an absolute stunner. There's also a massive battle where he kills the King of Ulster, and then his son, the Prince of Ulster, one would assume, becomes the King of Ulster. And he likes to collect things. He wants the best of everything. And the new king of Ulster, he sends a wee messenger over to Aoife. And the messenger lets him know that Conor has a massive palace.
He has lots of gold. His army red branch knight is the best in the world.
And his nephew is Cú Chulainn. You know, Cú Chulainn, who was Satantab, then he hit a ball with a hurley and got rid of the dog. But yeah, so basically he becomes the Hound of Cullen. Cú Chulainn, big, super, awesome warrior. Big deal, right? So this whole family, doing really well. But this messenger is just like blowing smoke out of his arse. He's like, he's bright, he's the best, he's amazing. He's got the best of this, he's got the best of that. And it's like, he needs the best of everything. And Aoife's like, right. And just like, cool, you're here, what do you want? And he's like, well, the thing is, what he doesn't have the best of is a wife. And your daughter, the princess of the entirety of Ireland, is the most beautiful woman in all the land. And so he must have her. Naturally, the High King is like, I'll think about it, I guess. Yeah. And the messenger's like, Conor wants three things and a wife. And what are the three things, baby?
She must think the world of him, do his bidding, and look after him very well.
And so that means she's got to be the
best.
The best. So Aoife's like, all right, actually, now that you mention it, Maeve is the best, and I won't have anybody say anything against it. So, yeah, they can totally get married. That's fine, you have my blessings. Fabulous. I mean, also, he was feeling a wee bit bad because he killed, you know, his dad. So here's a consolation prize, my daughter. That'll make up for your deceased father. Cool. Basically, as soon as the invitations were out, Conor McNessa and Maeve get married in Tara. And after they get married in Tara, they head off back to Conor's castle up in Ulster. And so off they go, and everyone's really happy. This is a great match, it's great power, they're well played, everybody is happy. Except, as you may have guessed it, Maeve. So, within a year, Maeve and Conor have a son, Gloshna. And she loves her son, but she absolutely despises her husband. He is just self-inflated, full of self-importance. He wants a basic, easy wee wife, is just gonna do his bidding. And she's not that. She's not. Like, remember in Beauty and the Beast and Gaston's like, I can't wait to have my wife getting ready to make my food and wash my feet and whatever. And Belle's like, hell no. That's what this is like. He wanted this great, amazing situation. And he's always being a bit of a pain. Like, he's going out of his way to make her life horrible, to make her miserable. Because, how'd I put this? Not a good dude. Not one to be stuck in an awful marriage. Maeve confronts her husband and says, listen, I know the only reason you married me is because you wanted a trophy wife. Like, I am a prize. And you just wanted me to adorn your shelf. Like, that's it. You have no interest in me as a person. And frankly, I can do better. And he's like, the best. You're not the best. You're the absolute worst. Shockingly enough, she did not take this well. And she decides to leave. And off she goes. She straight up leaves him. Like, this is during a period of time as well where she could do that. Like, women in this period had more rights, just due to the Brehon laws, right? So she ends up, adios, au revoir, au revoir, zen, slon, and heads back to her dad. And she arrives there and her dad's like, what the actual? Like, what are you doing here? Like, you should be with your husband or he is going to be well insulted. This is not good. This is not good at all. And so he sends one of her sisters to replace her, basically. He's like, hey, you can marry another one of my daughters. It's fine. Here's behind mystery door number two. And Maeve absolutely hates the man. She hates Connor. She hates him so much with the fire of a thousand suns. So when she discovers that her sister is going to marry him, she is livid. Like, she sees this as a personal insult. And she feels betrayed by her sister. She's like, you shouldn't have married him. Like, you shouldn't have married my ex-husband, who is also an absolute arsehole. Like, no, this is my enemy. You should not have done that. But she did. And she does well. She is, you know, a very well-behaved, obeying wife. She's doing exactly what he asks, and is the complete opposite of Maeve, because Maeve is just like, no. Things only get worse when the sister, Edna, when she gets pregnant. And Maeve is the epitome of a petty bitch. Like, she does not forgive. And she does not forget. Like, she really does not forgive. And so she feels slighted by her sister. And so she plans to have her murdered. Like, she hires an assassin. And the assassin goes in and kills her in the middle of the night. And luckily... So she's murdered and an emergency, like, cesarean is performed on Edna, and a healthy baby boy is born for Beda. Unsurprisingly, the assassination of the Queen of Ulster and the daughter of the High King of Ireland, it's gonna ruffle some feathers, that is. And Tara is just, like, people are pissed. And Ulster, like, there's a rage. And this causes so many problems. And he, Icha, the High King, tries to mold this around a wee bit. He tries to, create a distraction, because he's not going to punish Maeve. He's not going to punish her, because I think she's actually his favourite, personally. But he is killing two birds with one stone. So Connacht, the province of Connacht, has a king, Tinny McConry. And Tinny was enjoying his life as a king, and Icha was like, I have decided that I'm going to depose you and put my daughter in your place. And so Maeve becomes the Queen of Connacht. It was pretty easy to get rid of Tinny, because he didn't really have much of an army, didn't really have a lot going for him. He was, however, smoking hot. And so he and Maeve become lovers. And this was handy for a couple of reasons. One, because Maeve got her kicks. And two, that by having this sort of alliance with Tinny, there wasn't going to be this sort of massive bloodshed happening in Connacht. Now, Maeve ends up travelling to Tara, where the High King lives, because there's an assembly of all the kings, and all the kings meet there. And when she's there, trigger warning, she is assaulted by Conchobar, by Conor MacNessa, in revenge for, you know, the assassination of his wife, her sister. And this leads to a full-on battle, actually. So Tinny ends up challenging Conor McNessa to single combat, one-on-one. This doesn't work out too well for Tinny, because he is slain by Conor. And this doesn't go down well. This doesn't go down well. But Ikadala happens to have some pretty good, you know, critical thinking skills and just takes the army away. He's like, takes control, and he's like, nah, we're gonna go away from this and not, you know, cause a full-out war. Feels like a good plan. So that's what happens there. And he ends up becoming Maeve's second husband. So Maeve had her own little list of, you know, points that a future husband should have. Like, she wanted them to be fearless. She wanted them to be kind and generous. And she wanted them to not be jealous. Now, that's all fine and well, but Dala here was a green-eyed monster. Because he's handsome, and he's kind, and he's smart, and he's like everything that she would want, except he's jealous as hell. And so when Maeve has an affair with one of her bodyguards, her chief bodyguard, in fact, Alil McMata, Ikadala challenges him to a duel. A lot of duels happen in this time. And Alil, shockingly enough, wins the fight. Probably because he is, you know, the chief bodyguard. He's going to be handy with a sword. I feel like if there's anybody you don't want to challenge to a fight, it's like the personal protector of the queen. Feels like they may have a skill set that would be possibly above your own. I'm just putting it out there. Now, Maeve ends up marrying Alil, and they've got a fairly decent marriage. Like, they have a fairly decent marriage. And they end up having 7 sons and 1 daughter. And so, this is interesting. So Maeve hears a prophecy. I say hears a prophecy. She went and met a druid. She goes and meets a druid, and he tells her that Conor will be slain by someone called Mane. A boy called Mane, a man, even. And in order to ensure this, she ends up renaming all of her sons. So, which one of my sons will kill Conor? Mane. And she's like, right. Realizing she doesn't have a son called Mane, she changes their names. Thalamage, Carbra, Ichid, Fergus, Kit, Shin, and Dora. So Thalamage becomes Mane Athrimal, Carbra becomes Mane Mathrimal. So, like his father, like his mother, Mane Ando is the swift, Mane Tai is silent, Mane Morgor of great duty, Mane Milskoha, honey speech. My Irish is absolutely shocking, isn't it? And then Mane Moperch, beyond description. Imagine, beyond description. So,
I'm Helena Bonham Carter, and for BBC Radio 4, this is History's Secret Heroes, a new series of rarely heard tales from World War II.
They had no idea that she was Britain's top female codebreaker.
We'll hear of daring risk takers.
What she was offering to do was to ski in over the high Carpathian mountains.
Of course it was dangerous, but danger was his friend.
Subscribe to History's Secret Heroes wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey y'all, spooky season is here, and if you're looking for a show to whet your appetite for a little haunted history, then I'd like to invite you to check out Southern Gothic, a chart-topping history podcast that explores some of the most infamous legends, folklore, ghost stories, and hauntings of the American South. We've covered all sorts of stuff from the Bell Witch of Tennessee to the disappearance of the Confederate submarine, the H.L. Hunley, not to mention our deep dives into the local lore of some of America's oldest and most haunted cities, like New Orleans, Charleston, and St. Augustine. So, if you're ready for a little good old-fashioned Halloween storytelling with a commitment to quality historical research, then be sure to check out Southern Gothic today. It's available now on all your favorite podcast apps.
They have 7 sons. And, wait, no. Or do they just have 7 sons together and she's got a daughter, Kloshna? Wait. Doesn't matter. Anyway. So, she changes all of her sons' names because she's like, one of them's going to kill this dude. Fabulous. No, I was right. She does have a daughter. Maeve and Alil, they have a daughter, Findabar. And Connor Jarg. So Maeve and her husband, Alil, they're doing well. He's King of Connacht, she's Queen of Connacht. They have 7 sons, 2 daughters. You know, it's all fine and dandy. And then one day, he decides to say to her that, you know, everything you have is cause of me. Even though he wouldn't be King of Connacht if he hadn't married Maeve, but he's like, you know, everything, all your riches, all this, you know, it's all because of me. And Maeve's like, no. And she is very unhappy because she's like, one of her things is she has to be as rich as her husband, you know, the whole generous thing. So the thing about the past is people really put value in stock in animals, like it was a big deal. And Alil is going to be getting this super cool, amazing, like, bull. And it's like the biggest stud. It's fabulous. And the only rival to this bull is the brown bull of Cooley. And it's up in Ulster. And it's owned by Dara. So Dara McFeegna. He was one of the supporters and, you know, cool dudes surrounding Conor McNessa. And she is desperate to get this bull. And so she is sending him, like, gifts. She's got messengers going up. And she is offering everything. And I mean everything. She is offering herself. And up until this point, he's like, no, maybe not. Best not upset Connor. Can't be having that. When Maeve's like, I will let you visit Poontown. He's like, oh my, yeah. Absolutely, 100%. He's like, definitely, this is gonna happen. And so he's like, yep, you can totally have my bull. Absolutely, fantastic, 100%. And one of the messengers is like, sweet, this is fine. They get absolutely sloshed because it's, you know, the turn of the millennium. And beer is better than water, I guess. So he gets absolutely sloshed. And he starts talking about, well, if he didn't agree, you know, she was going to come take it by force anyway. Naturally, Dara wasn't too keen on this information and withdrew his consent. He's like, yeah, you were going to, like, aggressively do this? No, thank you, not happening. And this leads to a war, effectively. An absolute war. And Maeve, not quite used to being told no. And so she prepares for war. And so she ends up with this massive army. So she's got you know, people from all over Ireland. So you've got an actual grouper from Ulster as well. So she's going to war with the entire province, right? Absolutely, the entire province. And one of the groups in her army are a bunch of exiles. So Connor has a son who has been exiled because of a woman, because Connor had kidnapped this baby who was gonna grow up to be like super hot, whatever. Yeah, that's a prophecy in Irish mythology slash history. That's what that was. And so she runs away, she's brought back, and they're like, is she still gorgeous? And the son's like, no, she's old and ugly. And Connor finds out about this, blah 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 blah, one thing leads to another, he's exiled. Along with his foster father, Fergus MacRaoch, who was the King of Ulster, and he is currently, he becomes a lover of Maeve. So Fergus is a lover of Maeve, along with Allo's having his own fun. It's an open marriage. They are, you know, ahead of their time or whatever. And so, yeah, there's this thing about Fergus that basically said, like, it would take 30 men to satisfy Maeve, or Fergus once. Like, dude knows what he's doing. Like, that's just it. And so, he ends up, well, he's exiled anyway, and he has this thing with Maeve because she's Maeve, who is known as the intoxicated or the intoxicating one. And so, like, some people have tried to say this is about her being a drunk or whatever, but it's actually just about how amazing and gorgeous and just astounding she is that men just can't handle it because they're like love drunk, you know. But yeah, the whole thing with Fergus is like he prefers a woman's arse to like the entire province. Like, yeah, all right, mate, sure, that's exactly what happens. Now, Maeve has apparently superpowers, right? And she creates this curse, allegedly. So her army is like traipsing over the border into Ulster. And the men of Ulster are all suddenly overcome with menstrual cramps. That's right. Like, all across Ulster, period pain. Like, severe period pain. Either that or she did something to the water in the Volga, you know, aggressive diarrhea. Whom's to say? But, the only person who is not, like, taken over with this curse is Cuchulainn, sort of the nephew of Connor. And so he is this massive hero. He's like a super, you know, dude. And allegedly like half god, you know, because like Hercules, like whatever. And Allo and Maeve are like, oh dear. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. And they just start offering their daughter. They're like, yeah, anybody need a wife? Because you can get a wife. It's fine. They're like, Findebar, she will be your prize if you defeat Cuchulainn. And so all these heroes are stepping up to the plate. They're like ready to show off and, you know, win her hand in marriage. Because like she is the prize. Like she is the next big thing. And every single hero, every single person who went up against Cuchulainn loses. And like Maeve herself has several interactions with Cuchulainn. Like she keeps like coming across and meeting and all this other stuff. And like he keeps just killing the wrong people. or I don't know, just irritating her, I guess. Because at one point he's hitting things with his Harlan stick. And he's just like, it's like hockey, I guess, if you don't know what that is. And so he's like hitting a rock or a ball or whatever. And he ends up like knocking her pet stoat off of her neck. It's kind of like a ferret. Stoats are like ferrets. They're from that family, I think. Or like one of her handmaidens gets just hit in the temple and just down like a sack of spuds. Like stuff like that keeps happening. And they also for a time they become lovers. Cause of course they do. Because who can withstand just the allure of Maeve? But yeah, everybody's like going up to Cacall and he's like challenging everybody, and for 3 days, like 3 days, he is just going duel after duel, just like single combat, like boom, boom, boom. And at the end of these 3 days, the curse ends. And there is a massive battle. And at the end of the battle, Maeve ends up with all of these menstrual cramps. Like she ends up with like severe period pain. She orders like a big retreat. She's like, everybody run away, run away. And they do. And Cuchulainn gets to her and puts a spear against her throat. But then he realizes she's on her period and he decides not to do anything. Because she's on her period. I mean, I don't know if that's... I mean, I it's a good reason not to, you know, murder a woman, like, in general. But also, cool. Really, really specific reasoning there. Apparently it was an honour thing, because it's less honourable to kill a woman on her period than not, I guess. I mean, you know, whatever works for you, pal. So they're just having battle after battle. Like, she will not stop. And Cuchulainn ends up, like, eventually defeated in battle. I think against his best friend. But he ends up being defeated anyway. And she gets her hands on the bull. And although Maeve never actually manages to, like, win Ulster, she doesn't defeat it, she does get her hands on the bull. And so she gets the bull, it gets brought back home, and being two bulls together, like, yeah, not great, because they have a fight, and the brown bull of Cooley ends up just attacking Allo's bull. And effectively, they both die. So one dies quickly, which is Allo's bull. And then the brown bull of Cooley sort of dies of its injuries. And so all of this big war was for nothing. Like, at all. Like, no reason for it. It just kind of... all this war and suffering and death for, like, no reason. All because her husband was like, I am better than you, and I have more than you, and you should just, like, be happy that I did all this for you. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm a supporter of women's rights and women's wrongs. Okay. So, after a while, Alil, who's having many affairs, just gets incredibly bloody jealous of Fergus, because obviously Fergus is a man who knows what he's doing. And Allo is just enraged, and so he has Fergal just assassinated. He's like, done, can't be dealing with this, off he goes. And it's after this that the hero Conall Cearna comes to stay with Allo and Maeve. Like, they're the only people who can, like, deal with him, because he's just
like this big, amazing hero. And also, they're the only ones rich enough to deal with him. And so Maeve ends up like hiring Connell to keep an eye on Allo. Because he's, you know, sticking a spoon in everybody's honeypot. And he's just gotten rid of her lover. So she's very, very unhappy with the scenario. Feels like the scales aren't quite matching up. And she ends up catching Allo in the act. And she orders Connell to, you know, get rid of him. See, Connell was actually really good pals with Fergus, and as such, wasn't too keen with Allo, you know, assassinating him. And when he is, like, given the offer to just get rid of Allo, he is, like, absolutely not a problem. Because he does it. Off he pops. And then Allo, while he's there, you know, bleeding to death, he orders his men to, like, go get him and deal with him. And Connell ends up being killed while trying to, like, flee the castle. So Maeve never actually gets her revenge on Connor McNessa. And the Connor who ends up being slain by Maeve, right, or Mon, I keep calling him Maeve, that's not correct, it's Mon, I believe. And it's a completely different Connor, it's like Connor son of Arthur, it's a different dude entirely. This is why when dealing with prophecies and genie wishes and anything like that, you need to be clear. Like, it's the same thing. Like, you need to be specific. Like, if you're shaking that magic eight ball, you need to know the question you're asking. Like, because being vague just ain't gonna cut it. Because there are loopholes. Just a lot of loopholes. So yeah, Maeve, as she gets older, she, you know, she's still chilling out a little bit less aggressive. Or at least she's not doing anything that the men feel is important enough to write about. She has this habit of bathing in this sort of pool, pond, area of water in Inishcloran on Loch Cree. And she was known going there for a long time. And it's just something she did. It was relaxing, like a spa treatment. But, you know, the millennium. The first one, not the second one, with the millennium. Ooh, sorry. Some say that we are players. Some say that we are pawns. We've been making money since the day that we were born. Sorry, that's some classic Robbie Williams for you there. But yeah, it was known that Maeve would bathe. Maeve would bathe. It was known that Maeve would bathe in this pool, and her nephew, for Beta, right, he grows up, you know, livid, clearly, that his auntie murdered his mum, and he wants revenge. And so he starts measuring the, you know, the space between, like, this area and that area. And he starts practicing. And he's knocking stuff, like, right, between here and the shore, here to this. He's just getting his skill set up. And then he sees her going for her bath or whatever. And he gets his slingshot and he swings it around and he lugs. And this is the official story. A block of cheese, or a mound of cheese, a 3D shape of cheese, somehow, and he whacks her with it, and he gets her right in the soft part of the head, one would assume, and ends her life. Like, she's just instantly gone. Death by cheese. And not the way one would expect. So, her son ends up becoming the next ruler of Connacht, Mahrimil, Mon Mahrimil, like his mother. So he ends up ruling. And she ends up buried, standing up. So she's buried at Knocknaree in Sligo, standing up with a bunch of stones on top of her grave, specifically to stop her from breaking out. Like, there was a fear that she was going to come back for revenge, because again, does not forgive, does not forget. And that is why she is facing Ulster, staring directly at it, at Donegal, actually, I think, straight at Donegal, being like, my enemy is in my sight. And that is the story of Queen Maeve. Thank you all for listening. Somebody dozed off as we were recording. And I hope you liked this episode. I was trying to keep it nice and chill and a little bit less heavy than the last one, especially with everything we've gone through this last week. Now, before I forget, there are still tickets for, I think it's like less than 10 tickets for the Glasgow show now for my tour and my wee mini tour in April. So Brighton's got a good few tickets left. But like, please buy them now. So I know that if people want me to come to Brighton, I can come back again and do more shows in Brighton. So Brighton, Manchester, and Glasgow are the ones in the UK. And I've still got a Dublin one on the 25th with the Shite Talk History Podcast Boys. So if you want to come see me, that'd be amazing. I'd love to see you there. I might have some merch at this point. I'm very excited, and I'm just waiting on a delivery coming in, and then I have a giveaway coming. I'm very excited. I was supposed to do it a little while ago, but I've been waiting on this stuff coming in, and I'm really excited about it. And recommendation time, I guess. Recommendation. I'm gonna recommend you watch. It was a little bit for a bit. But I was watching Death and Other Details on Disney Plus. And you know me, I like a murder mystery. I do, I can't help myself. So check that out. For listening, if you're not listening to me, you should be listening to some other awesome women. And I'm going to recommend real life ghost stories. Like I love her so much. She's brilliant. And she's very, it's spooky, but in a fun way. But yeah, go enjoy that. And for reading, Bold, Brilliant and Bad. It's basically about Irish women in history who may not fall within the necessary, you know, patriarchal lines. You should do that. It's amazing. It's fun. And with that, I'm going to bid you good night. Adios. Au revoir. Of Wiedersehen, my friends. Bye-bye.